Powerplay, der Eishockey-Podcast rund um die Blue Devils Weiden von Oberpfalz Medien.
Der Powerplay-Podcast wird Ihnen präsentiert von der Meyerhöfer-Gruppe. Wir bringen Metall in Form.
Servus, liebe Eishockey-Freunde, zu Powerplay, dem Eishockey-Podcast rund um die Blue Devils Weiden. Mein Name ist Fabian Lieb und bei mir ist auch heute wieder mein allseits geschätzter Kollege Thomas Wiebel. Tom, servus.
Servus, Fabian.
So. Blue Devils machen es einem nicht leicht. Woche für Woche hier neue Themen, die aufploppen, Spiele, die es zu besprechen gilt. Wir haben viel zu bequatschen heute. Es geht um die beiden Spiele gegen Bad Nauheim, gegen Landshut. Dann natürlich um die Schocknachricht des gestrigen Tages. Heute ist Mittwoch. Gestern haben die Blue Devils verkündet, dass es eine Erhöhung der Ticketpreise ab dem 1. Februar geben wird. Und dann haben wir heute einen Gast, einen Neuzugang, den neuesten Neuzugang im Kader, den es vorzustellen gilt. Today we've joined the Blue Devils newcomer, Alex Olivier Voyer. Alex, great to have you here. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Okay, deswegen we'll do it twice.
Bilingual.
Bilingual.
So we start in German, talking about ticket prices.
Yes. And when we talk with Alex about his career, about his transfer to Weiden, we'll switch into English, but we start, I think, in German. Denn Tom, war schon eine knalle Nachricht gestern. Also hat man jetzt auch so nicht kommen sehen.
Ja, ist schon eine krasse Nachricht und man vergleicht dann natürlich sofort, was es woanders kostet, auch in DEL-Standorten. Ich sage mal so, da ist man nicht mehr nur weit entfernt, sondern man ist tatsächlich auf dem gleichen Niveau wie DEL-Vereine, die nicht in allzu weiter Entfernung sind, zum Beispiel in Nürnberg und in Ingolstadt.
Ich bin echt ein bisschen zwiegespalten, weil ich kann es auf der einen Seite verstehen, dass man sowas macht. Blue Devils hatten bisher die günstigsten Preise, was ich halt überhaupt nicht nachvollziehen kann. Das ist der Zeitpunkt.
Ja.
Also ganz ehrlich, das, wenn man im Sommer macht und im Sommer sagt man, hey Leute, wir gehen jetzt in die dritte DEL-2-Saison. Wir haben immer noch die günstigsten Tickets, da müssen wir uns auch mal ans Liga-Niveau anpassen, zumindest ins Mittelfeld. Ich glaube, das wird fast kommentarlos durchgewunken. Also natürlich gibt es die Dauernörgle, die gibt es immer. Aber der Zeitpunkt, also warum? Vor allem erstens jetzt, ab 1. Februar hast du noch 6 Heimspiele, dann kommen Playdowns oder Playoffs. Und dann hast du eigentlich null Effekt. Also entweder denen steht das Wasser schon wieder bis zum Hals finanziell und sie brauchen wirklich jeden Cent. Und ansonsten sehe ich nur Nachteile, wenn man das jetzt macht. Also du vergraulst Fans, du riskierst weniger Zuschauer, du sorgst für Diskussionen, die absolut unnötig sind, gerade in einer Phase, wo die Blue Devils sportlich ja jetzt nicht gerade auf eine Erfolgswelle daherkommen. 11 Niederlagen in den vergangenen 13 Partien sprechen für sich und da brauchst du die Fans eben. Und Sebastian Buchwieser zum Beispiel, der wird auch in jeder Pressekonferenz nicht müde zu betonen, danke an die Fans, wie sie uns unterstützt haben, toll, wie uns die Fans unterstützen, bla bla. Und das riskiere ich jetzt. Also nicht nur, dass weniger Leute kommen, sondern auch die dauerhaft da sind, die werden ja, also du riskierst ja jetzt, dass es blöderweise am Freitag im Oberpfalz-Derby gegen Regensburg, dass es Fanproteste gibt. Das riskierst du. Die Weidner Fans sind jetzt nicht gerade dafür bekannt zu sagen, ey, ja, super, Mama. Also, völlig unnötig. Und hier die Daten zu nennen, also bisher ein Stehplatz 16 Euro, jetzt 21 Euro, 5 Euro mehr. Sitzplatz war bisher 27 Euro, künftig 34 Euro, 7 Euro mehr. Natürlich gibt es die Rabatte wieder, die es bisher auf alle Ermäßigungen auch schon gegeben hat. Als Kompensation gibt es einen Getränke-Voucher, dass du 0,5 Getränk zu einem Liter aufwerten kannst. Boah, also das ist mehr als ein Zuckerl, ist es auch nicht. Weiß ich nicht. Also ich finde weiß nicht, wie du es einschätzt, also ich sehe es, bin ein bisschen zwiegespalten. Wie gesagt, wirtschaftlich kann ich es in gewisser Weise ein bisschen nachvollziehen. Der Zeitpunkt ist natürlich, um es gelinde zu sagen, katastrophal.
Ja, ich denke, man lehnt sich da nicht zu weit aus dem Fenster, wenn man davon ausgeht, dass diese Entscheidung nicht unbedingt in der deutschen Führung der Blue Devils greift.
Die gibt's nicht.
Naja, auch nicht in der Geschäftsführung, sondern dass das natürlich von den neuen Besitzern kommt. Und wie gesagt, inhaltlich kann man es nachvollziehen, das hast du gesagt, über einen Zeitpunkt, da muss man halt darüber nachdenken, ob da vielleicht einfach bei den Amerikanern auch nicht immer das Gespür dafür da ist, wie so die Nordoberpfälzer Fanseele gerade tickt. Das ist vielleicht ein Stück weit auch normal, ungeschickt, das ist natürlich trotzdem.
Ich wollte gerade sagen, fehlt denen jetzt nach einem Jahr Tätigkeit hier und doch zahlreichen Besuchen noch so komplett das Gespür für die Leute hier, für die Region, wie dieser Verein tickt, wie die Region tickt, wie die Leute hier ticken? Sind sie so schlecht beraten oder sind sie beratungsresistent? Das ist jetzt die andere.
Ich bin jetzt seit 8 Jahren hier in der Region und ich fühle mich immer noch ein. Also das ist auch nicht so leicht.
Ich bin hier seit mittlerweile 43 Jahren. Und nee, also ich weiß es nicht. Also mir fehlt jedes Verständnis dafür und ich habe auch einige Rückmeldungen aus dem Verein bekommen und die sagen viele, wir können es selbst nicht verstehen. Also bestätigt deine These, dass es eben eine amerikanische Entscheidung war. Und da müssen wir mal schauen, wie das hier noch weitergeht. Wir können es erst in ein paar Wochen dann beurteilen, ob es wirklich zum Zuschauerrückgang gekommen ist, ob es den Leuten egal ist. Aber jetzt stellen wir doch lieber mal unseren Gast vor, würde ich sagen. Oder? So, we switch into English to have a warm welcome to Alex Olivier Boyer. And I asked him if we can do the podcast in French. It's also possible. So
I think it's more possible for him than for us.
Oh no. on parle le français un petit peu. But we said we will do it in English. So Alex, welcome. How are you settling so far here in Weiden, on and off the ice?
Well, obviously off the ice, I got really good taking of when I as soon as I got here. It was a quick transfer.
talk about it. Yes,
really quick turnaround. But as soon as I got here, like Jürgen really helped me settle with my apartment. My parents were also here in town, so he helped them find a place to stay also here in Weiden and organize everything and make it really easy. So obviously it helped me kind of just focus on hockey and what's trying to perform well.
Are your parents still here?
No, they went back home.
Okay.
They were here just for the Christmas time.
Okay. Yeah. Will they come back in this season?
Well, I would love to, but I don't know. Flight tickets are pretty expensive, and they work at home. But maybe if we end up being in a playoff and we end up making a run, it would be fun for them to come back,
yes,
for sure.
For a semifinal,
yeah.
For example, okay. when you tell your friends back home about Weiden, what do you say first?
Well, first I say it's really beautiful, nice little downtown. I really like it. And then hockey wise, I enjoy playing in front of those fans. Mm-hmm. A lot of love. They're really involved and throughout the entire game, either that we winning during the game or losing, which it's huge. And I really appreciate that. It's really exciting and fun to play in front of fans like this and that support us well. Okay.
From my perspective, you settled in very well on the ice right from the start. How do you rate your first weeks on the ice with the Blue Devils?
Well, obviously, it would have been really nice to get some team wins. It took a couple games, actually like 2 weeks and a half before I experienced winning here at home. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the team itself, since I got here, we've been struggling like in the need of having points on the table and in the winning games. But I feel like we've still been playing like really good hockey. There's not many games since I got here that we were out of the game or that we didn't follow our system and our effort wasn't there. So, and personally, since I got here, like there was a lot of injuries, especially the first game in Rosenheim. There was a lot of injuries and also
what a
guys
start. You know Ralph Epps on the ice now.
Yeah, exactly. So I logged in, I think 30 minutes that game or 30, a little bit more than 30 minutes. So as a centerman, I didn't play center for a long, well, for since last year. So it was good to just go at it and like not really think about anything else, because I was just on the ice since we didn't, I think we played with 11 or 12 players overall, not forwards, like players. So yeah, it was a pretty good experience too. But then when we came back the next day, mostly all the guys were coming back, so it was nice to meet them. And because I think that first game, out of the 12 guys, there was maybe six or seven guys that were like on our actual roster. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get the chance to really meet them before. Okay. So it was nice after that on the next day.
Okay. Your transfer to Weiden happened very spontaneously, I would say. The farewell in Ravensburg and your start in Weiden was very, very close together in time. Can you briefly outline how the move came about?
Well, first I got my contract terminated with Ravensburg. The team wasn't really doing well there. I didn't really understand the decision, but it's part of the business. I think they wanted to shake in things a little bit there, and then I got kind of like free a little bit. So my people on my side, my agents, kind of, I wanted to stay in Germany. I really like it here, the hockey. I like the league, how it plays. It's very good league, and so I wanted to try give it one more try here in Germany. That was one of the main thing I told my agent was I wanted to find a team here in Germany, and then Weiden was kind of like in need of imports with the injury of guys, so it was perfect. Perfect timing in a way. It was really quick. I think I talked with Jürgen the next day that I got fired, and on Thursday I was here to practice in the afternoon.
So Jürgen reached out to you?
Well, at first how things works is like I don't really know anything, or I don't really ask questions either to my agent. I just let him do his thing. And then at some point, like teams are, I'm aware that there's some teams that are interested either in this league or in other leagues that could be an option. And then if a team is really serious, then the manager, like Jürgen, would have a talk with me. And then I had a talk with Bossa, the coach. So, and then we took a decision to go through and make it happen.
Okay, as you said, you wanted to stay in Germany and in the DEL2.
Yeah.
And the Blue Devils were looking.
Yeah.
Was your move to the Blue Devils mostly a coincidence?
Well, yeah, kind of. Like in this league, there's only four imports available. So it's a really hard league for imports to get in. And I'm sure if you get out, it's even harder to get in. So I really wanted to stay here. I always wanted to come here in Germany. I had some friends that played here, or even my best friend's dad played in Kassel for like long time. So I heard really good things about Germany and the hockey here. So I wanted to try it out, and this was my way in this year, and I wanted to stay here. So that was my main focus when I got released from Ravensburg.
Okay. Did you have other options in the DL2?
Not exactly. Well, I don't No.
Okay.
Maybe my agent was talking with other teams, but this was for sure the Weiden was the first team that were like really interested. Mm-hmm. And I think it was really like short notice. I got fired, and then 24 hours later, I signed a contract with Weiden. So, yeah.
Okay.
What was your impression of the Blue Devils when you received the inquiry? Did you know anyone from the team?
I know a little bit Michael McNiven he lives in Montreal now. So in the summer, sometimes I see him on the ice or in small tournaments that we do there in like summer tournaments for pros. But other than that, like I knew Nick German as well, that I played with 2 years in the ECHL in Maine, and then half a year in Trois-Rivières. Other than that, I didn't really know anyone except but that I played against them. So I was pretty excited, honestly. Like, I feel like my first impression was this team is good. There's really good goaltending. There's also, I think her transition that comes from her team is one of her biggest strengths compared to other teams in the league. There are all of her these can move, skates, and are big and strong. So it helps a lot in hockey.
What did Jürgen and Bassa promise you in terms of role and expectations?
Well, there wasn't like any promise or anything. The only thing is I knew I was going to play on Friday against Rosenheim because there was nobody in the lineup. So maybe that was the only promise that they made.
We need you on Friday.
Yeah. Alex, you'll play 60 minutes.
Yeah. But they just told me that they needed like a right-handed as well on a power play. Mm-hmm. But like in hockey, nothing is for sure. And I think I kind of saw it too earlier with Ravensburg. So they didn't do any promise and I wasn't expecting it. I was just really happy to have an opportunity to play and be in a team in this league.
Okay. Did you make any promises to Jürgen and Bassa? When I come to you, I'll give you a better power play.
No, not like stats wise, but one thing's for sure. When I first talked with Jürgen and then Bassa, they knew me a little bit because I think I played one time against them. Yeah. But I just told him that I'm a guy that will give his 100% every game and can play everywhere in the lineup with wherever the coach needs me. So either on power play, like you said, or penalty kill, playing right wing, left wing, or center. I'm a guy that can help the coach doing all those things.
You have to know Jürgen knows every player.
Yeah.
I'm sure in the top three leagues in Germany, it's really fair to say he knows every player.
Every player. And
it's fascinating.
Yes. He's talking about his... he's been here in the podcast for, I think...
4 or 5 times?
No, 8 or 9 times.
8 or 9.
And we're talking about he knows every player. And so don't be surprised. Let's have a look on your career so far and your identity as a player. And for listeners who don't know your full background, what's the short version of your hockey journey so far?
Well, I'm a guy coming from Quebec, Canada. Little smaller town, but Sherbrooke, it's called. I got drafted in a major junior back home, the QMJHL. Yeah. And that was one of my dream, to play in the, that was actually my first dream to play in that league growing up. So I got drafted to Rimouski. I played the 3 years there with the Rimouski Oceanic. And then I got traded to my hometown in Sherbrooke. And that's where I finished my career in junior. I played at 19 and then over ages, 20 years old there.
In points, this was your best season. Do you know?
My last year there, I think we were first in Canada. We had also a German, Taro Liensch, in our lineup.
Okay.
That plays for Iserlohn. We had a lot of good players. Not really a lot of superstars, but we were like a really good and tight group. And then out of that, I signed a professional contract with the Providence Bruins, the farm team of the Boston Bruins. Mm-hmm. I signed a 2-year deal there. And then after that, I signed another year in Providence. But that third year, I kind of went back and forth with the East Coast League and the American League. So then I made a decision to look somewhere else at the end of that year. And I signed with Laval in the American League. And I mostly played in Trois-Rivières, their farm team in the ECHL.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think then you decided to go to Europe?
Yeah, exactly.
And you ended up for your first year in Europe in Slovakia?
Yeah. Well, how it works, in North America, you sign your contract pretty late compared to in Europe. So I didn't have, I made the decision that I wanted to go to Europe that summer, but mostly every teams have already their, especially like their imports or so. But then when I made the decision, I had a couple options and I felt like Slovakia was a really good league to start my career in Europe. Cause when you come overseas, you kind of got to redo your career and like show yourself in a different way as well. So I think it would help me doing that, going to that league and to that organization in Banská Bystrica. Yeah.
How would you describe yourself as a player in three words?
In three words, think size, good shot, and my work ethic is, that goes also with the physicality. I think those are my three words I could describe it.
And what do you think is the most underrated part of your game?
I think is my hockey sense sometimes, because I go like 100%. You could see or think I might not have the best hockey sense or the best playmaking plays that I make, or because I just go one speed. But once in a while, I feel like I place myself well on the ice and helps me produce.
Okay. And when we look on your career, which coach or teammate influenced you the most?
I think obviously in Sherbrooke, my coach and Stéphane Julien, that played in Germany as well, really helped me. That's where I took a step offensively in major junior and helped me sign a pro contract right away after that out of that organization. So that he would be one of the coach that would say he really helped me in my career. And
teammates,
there's a lot. I played with so many. I think I played in 7 pro teams in the last 6 years. But I feel like there's a guy that really helped me. Samuel Asselin is another French guy from Montreal. He really helped me my first year in Providence. He played there the year before. And when you get there as a 21-year-old, you go to the United States. I never I didn't know much. I didn't really speak English back then too. So I kind of learned the language. So I kind of there, but he really helped me just going through, like knowing what's pro hockey in North America a little bit. And also going out to just do my bank account and all those stuff, find an apartment. Those are all things that you got to take care of there. So he really helped me there.
Okay. So at home, you're talking French.
Yeah, that's my first language.
Okay, nice. Good to know. Yeah. After the game on Friday against Regensburg, I will interview you in French, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. I'm looking forward to hear this.
I will play it next week in the podcast.
Here. Okay, good.
And what were the toughest moments in your career so far? Was it an injury and setbacks?
I feel like I think obviously Ravensburg would be the latest toughest moment. It's never easy to find a job, to lose a job for anybody, either a hockey player or people that work in construction or hard work or whatever. So, but I got fortunate enough. So I found a new team in the next 24 hours, which I could have waited way more. But I think the hardest part for me was during my second year in North America in Providence, I broke my ankle. I got a full ankle surgery. It's one of those video that you see online that your ankle is not, it doesn't look part of your body.
Okay.
So then I had to go to a full surgery and full recovery. That was really hard coming back from that and play the next year. Even mentally, but also physically, it was really demanding. The rehab and trying to find my fitness as quick as possible.
You've been out for 1 year?
No, it happened, I think it was in April. So there was like a month left in the season, then plus playoffs. So I missed that. And then I had the entire summer to recover.
Okay.
But I was in a boot for like 3 months. And then,
Okay. Now you're in Wieden for a few days, weeks, let's say. What did you notice immediately about the club and perhaps in the city?
Everybody's like really welcoming. For me, it made it really easy. It feels like a everybody knows each other as well, and which I don't mind. I like it. You kind of see familiar faces in town. I really like the restaurant.
Yes.
They're really good, which I love food. I love eating. So
okay.
That's one thing I noticed. And also, I got the chance to go to the Christmas market when I got here. So yeah. That was beautiful as well. And then I saw the parade with the monsters.
Okay.
Yeah. That was a little scary. surprised me a little bit, but it was fun. It was something.
It's not normal here, okay?
Okay.
It's not every weekend.
Okay. Good to know. But yeah, that was interesting to watch. But it was first time seeing a parade okay. like that.
And that was the moment where I thought, where the hell have I ended up?
I have to, on the Christmas market, I have to look much more next year, because Max Kolb, Vladislav Filin, I saw Thomas Rubesch, I saw them all the time. Mm-hmm. Okay. No. Who helped you most with settling in, or in the team, or in the organization?
Well, firstly, Jürgen really helped me for sure. Yeah, he was my first contact. And then Bossa with all the system, and he made it really easy for me. Like, sometimes when you come in a different team, there are some coaches that trying to like just fill you with a lot of system, and like you, like that wants you to play like this way. And he just told me to be myself, and then we'll figure it out. Like, when I have questions or when he sees something, and that's the way we process. And I really been enjoying that part. Just kind of be myself on the ice and off the ice. And then player, I think Muck really, mm-hmm. really helped me as an import yes. captain of the team right now. So he's been helping me either like load things in the bus or in wherever.
Is it difficult for a new player to adapt a Bossa system?
No,
I think Rosenheim was no yeah. system, I would say.
Yeah, well, in Rosenheim, definitely not. I think your system is very simple. Bossa tell us what to do, not what to do, but what he expects from us. Okay. There's like points on the defensive side that he want us to play this mm-hmm. way. But after that, it's just like trying to play hockey, guys, and make hockey decision, which I'm a strong believer in that too.
Okay, and how do you handle the daily life stuff in Widen, like language, food, routines, travel?
Well, lately we've played a lot of hockey games, mostly yes. 3 games every week yeah. since I got here. I think it was the first couple of days now that we didn't play like every other day.
Yeah.
So I didn't expect do much. I mostly rest and not just chill and go for walks. I actually live a little bit outside of the city, so it's okay. nice to be a little bit outside and in nature. It feels like back home.
What's been the biggest adjustment so far?
I think it's hard to lose. Yes. So and like everybody like loves winning, and I think losing is even more harder. But I really feel like our group is still sticking with each other. We're still trusting each other, and the vibe, and like we're not stupid. We've been in games that like we were right there, and it's just about one mistake or not scoring. But our engagement and it has been there, so our attitude is really positive still, and we really believe in our group.
We'll talk about Bad Nauheim and Landshut then. When you come to a new team, how do you build up a chemistry quickly with the new teammates, with the line mates?
I think a lot of communication for sure, either on the ice or off the ice. Like, but good players like Wardo or even Glassy, and even the brothers, the Semensky that I've been playing with them a little bit, they're like really good players. So it's really easy for me to play with guys like that. You don't have to be, it's not like rocket science. It's just play hockey. Those guys know what they're doing, and they made it easy for me, just giving good outs and being in right places. Okay. So it was pretty easy, honestly, to find chemistry.
The tension when there's trouble for Noah Szymanski.
Neil?
Yeah. Neil's coming from
Neil is yeah. coming from the
yeah.
behind.
Yeah, it's okay. You got to know that.
Okay. I told you, let's talk about the last two games. But before we talk about Bad Nauheim and Landshut, we'll have a little commercial break.
Ihr hört den Powerplay-Podcast von Oberpfalz Medien. Präsentiert von der Meierhöfer-Gruppe mit ihren Produktionsstandorten in Erbendorf, Eschenbach und Pressart. Ob Maschinenbau, Anlagenbau oder hochspezialisierte Fertigungstechniken, die Meierhöfer-Gruppe steht für höchste Qualität und maßgeschneiderte Lösungen. Mit modernster Technik, einem starken Team und unserem Motto »Geht nicht, gibt's nicht« setzen wir neue Maßstäbe. Du willst Teil dieser Erfolgsgeschichte werden? Dann besuche unser Karriereportal unter www.meierhofer-gruppe.de. Hier warten spannende Jobangebote und berufliche Perspektiven auf dich, sowohl kaufmännisch als auch gewerblich, von der Ausbildung bis hin zu Positionen für erfahrene Fachkräfte. Und nun weiterhin viel Spaß mit dem Powerplay-Podcast.
Welcome back at the Powerplay-Podcast with Alex Olivier Voyer from the Blue Devils, Weiden. Two losses the last weekend in Bad Nauheim. 2-3 in overtime, and at home against Landshut, 4-5. Well, on Friday in Bad Nauheim, you were once again very close to a win. Why are you currently unable to hold on to narrow leads until the end?
Well, it's a good question. I wish
I want an answer.
I could answer that easily, but I'll try to answer that. I feel like we've been there, like recently, and for sure it comes to your mind when you get a lead and there's like 1 minute left.
Yeah, okay.
Like, we're not stupid. We want to win. We want to win for the city. We want to win for our fans. So, and for us, and then. I'm sure other teams know that too, that like we've been struggling a little bit lately with being able to win. But in Bad Nauheim, it was a mistake that I took ownership as well on that. I wasn't in the right position. So then we talk about it and we fixed it. I know this week we talked about a lot of the 6-on-5, either defensively or offensively. But it comes like that was like one mistake that I make in the positioning, but then it comes also like from maybe we could have scored that killing goal. Yes. And we didn't, like, we got chances as well. Like, I think a guy like Ward that went on a breakaway, I'm sure he would have loved to go back and maybe do a different thing, but like, he's a guy who's been producing offensively, like, since he got in Germany and Weiden, so I'm not really. I think everything all of our scores we're all gonna. It's the puck's gonna go in the back of the net at some point. And we're gonna run out of bad luck for sure.
Okay, but it was another overtime a loss. What does it take to land a lucky punch in a 3-on-3 overtime?
Well, I think you gotta create your own luck. So you gotta know there's kind of like non-negotiable that you gotta play man on man mostly in a 3-on-3 overtime, so you don't get beat on a 2-on-0 or a 2-on-1. And then like it could go either way in a overtime. Like, you just need the good bounces, because you can go on a 2-on-1 and don't score and miss the net, and then it goes on a 2-on-1 on the other side. So we haven't been getting that bounce recently. Sometimes you kind of need a little hockey gut bounce, but hopefully we will get it in the future.
And what does the perfect mix of forwards and defenders look like in overtime in 3-on-3?
I like the formation that You play with two forwards and
two forwards, one defender.
One defender. Okay. I think you look at the best team is in the NHL that play 3-on-3. They all run one defenseman and two forwards as well.
Okay, and then there was 2 days later a 4-5 loss against Landshut. But afterwards, the coach asked the question, how can we lose a game like that? Have you or the team already found answers to that coach question?
Yeah, I think internally we're talking about it. We're really open it, and especially Bossa, he's not scared to say anything to us, which I appreciate. He's truthful and he's really straightforward. You know what to expect. We talked about it. There's things that we address. I think scoring, of course, is one. Then in the practice, we do a lot of drills that kind of like help us getting more confident offensively, like a lot of reps offensively, 2-on-1 situation, 3-on-2 situation, that I'm sure, well, those are like drills that help you find the back of the net in real games because they're game-like situation as well. So yeah, I think of course scoring, but this is what also, it's one of the things that if you talk about it and think about it too much, yes, I feel like I'll get just worse and worse, but you just got to find a good balance in between it.
That's another question. When you are struggling to score goals, can you train that or does it take a moment in the game to break the ice? Or?
Well, I think collectively and even individually, like personally, I feel like when you're struggling scoring goals, you just got to get back to basics. Mm-hmm. And what are that is like pucks to the net. And if you want to score, just go in the paint where the goalie stands. That's where 80% of the goals are scored. And it's pretty simple. If you want to buy candies, you go to the candy shop. So if you want to score goals, you go to the net.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. The performance was pretty good. I think, and it sounds perhaps strange, but could this defeat perhaps give you a push for the upcoming games, helping you turn around the things in sense of we dominate Landshut in terms of play, we just need to reward ourselves mm-hmm. with goals.
Yeah, of course. And like we scored 4 goals, which is, it's not like
we could have been 10.
Exactly, for sure. Yes. I think the expected goal like were 7 or even 8 or 7, but which are a lot in the in hockey. But yeah, I think
it's difficult. I know.
Yeah, it's a difficult question. But yeah, I think like a game like that, we know we like played really well. It could be like really frustrating, but the way we look at it is like we're optimistic. And we're just more hungry to go out and win against Regensburg because we saw that we can play with any team in this league, a team like Landshut. So I think it's positive in a way.
Yes.
This is what I'd like to mention because Landshut is not anybody. Landshut is 4th in the league. And you also played, I think, 2 or 3 or 4 weeks ago against Krefeld.
Yes.
Also very, very good game from the Blue Devils. But at the end of the day, at the moment, the results are not there. But I think I understood you correctly. You have to create your own luck. I think this is a really great mm-hmm. sentence.
Yeah.
And when it's a tough stretch results-wise from inside the room, can you tell us what's the mood like?
But like it, obviously the mood is not the best mood you could have. Like, mm-hmm. but in hockey, it's very important to not be too high when everything's going really well, and not be too low when you're not getting results. And I feel like games like against Krefeld, against Landshut, or even the one we won in Kaufbeuren really helps building and keeping the trust between each other. And we see that when we apply that system and when we work hard, like we have been during this tough stretch, we could play with anybody. So it hasn't been like a terrible mood, but obviously, like we know we need to get some points. It's a business. Hockey is a business, and you need to get results at some point.
And you have to know when you will win against Regensburg, everything will be fine because it's a derby. Okay. I think it's a good moment on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. For our Devils come back and what do teams typically need in moments, in hard moments like this? Is it this one ugly win in a derby against Regensburg, or is it one big moment in a game, or is it a calmer process?
I think for sure a win in that derby would be a setting back and like, okay, we're back on the winning table. But when we look at the standing, it's crazy how this league is really tight.
Yeah.
I think we're like 1 point away from the playoff.
Yes.
Even in that tough, with the tough stretch we've had. And we're also like not far off from other teams ahead of us. So
one or two wins and everything can look differently.
Exactly. Like in this league, I feel like you win two games in a row and you just like, you move so much, or yes, you lose two in a row and then you move so much as well.
Yes.
So, because it's so much tight. So yeah, a big win could really help us here. And we're aware of that.
Big win against Regensburg. And then in Bietigheim, there is something to repair from the first game in the colleagues, the teammates will tell you about the first game in Bietigheim. It was, I think, the worst game in this season so far. And what does the coach emphasize most right now?
Well, just emphasize on our system, like little details like that, like where we've been losing games, like 6-on-5, we played a lot, we practice it a lot. Then also we emphasize in practice just to keep trusting in what we're doing and being positive. We'll score goals, we'll win some games, and Basa is very energetic too in practice, so it's not hard to get going personally when you have a coach like that is doing and is 100% every practice or behind the bench. So yeah, that's pretty much our message right now.
Okay, let's have a little look in the locker room with a new teammate. What do you think of your teammates so far? Who is the funniest?
Funniest?
Don't say Felix Noack. Don't say.
Yeah. I don't think he tries to, but I think Neil is really funny.
Okay, yes. That's it. Okay.
I think Neil is like one punchline and
okay,
he's like quiet, but when it's, I think he's a funny guy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Low spice.
Ich sag mal, speziellen Humor, einen sehr tiefsinnigen Humor. Kannst du übersetzen? Mir fehlen gerade die Worte. Who is the most professional teammate?
I think Mucker is a very professional. He's ready to go every game. He plays 25 to 30 minutes every game. He's our leader back there, and it comes from practice and his preparation before games also. So
okay.
I think I would say him.
If you could bring one Canadian must-have to Widen.
A no hockey player.
Okay.
What would it be?
I don't think anyone. Maybe. I'd say maybe the most famous Canadian, Justin Bieber. People would like to see him probably.
Okay.
He's pretty popular everywhere in the world. So, yeah.
Okay. We are looking forward to the concert in the Hans Schröpf Arena. What are your personal goals for the rest of the season? How many points you want to score?
Well, I don't really. I think I would just think just win games and make the playoff. That would be my personal goal. So if the team's winning, everybody, it looks better on everyone.
But you know that you personally, you got more scorer points in 9 games at the Blue Devils than you had in 24 games in Ravensburg. So something seems to work out for you here in the team.
Yeah, I feel comfortable in her system. I feel trusted as well. I on the ice for every power play, and I play a lot of minutes. That for sure helps on your confidence. And I think there's some plays that I've been lucky to get some points, and there's some plays that I've made some great plays and deserved it as well. But I've been playing with really good players as well that helped me getting those points. Like, you don't get assists or goals by your own. So, yeah, I think overall it's been good personally, but the main thing why we're here is just winning, and we're not. So kind of disappointed with that. But like we said before, like, we're really close. We're right there. We've been playing good. So it's not like we have our head under, looking at our tails, or what, I don't know what the expression is exactly, but like, it's not like we're really negative, or like, we know what we can do, and we know that we're a good team, and it's coming. I think we ran out of bad luck and ran out of bad situation. So we're back.
Yes, it's in since Friday, there are 3 games in 5 days against Regensburg, Bietigheim, and Düsseldorf with 3 wins. I think everything.
We'll start by one, but yes, it would be nice.
Oh, sorry.
We'll start with the first one, okay, with Derby, but then yes, it would be
and
nice.
Then that's no good for Bietigheim and Düsseldorf. When there's one win against Regensburg, I tell you, there will be 3. What do you want the fans in Weiden to associate with your name by the end of the season?
I think just a guy that enjoys being here and also would give his best every game, that his work ethic is at his 100% every game, and that is a good Spieler.
Good Spieler, yeah. Right? I know. Here are some German words.
I'm trying to work on it.
Are there more?
Germans?
Yeah.
I'm trying, but it's been hard. It's a lot in language to learn, but being around the guys, of course, for less than six months now, I've been learning a little bit, okay, for sure.
Okay. We'll ask you at the end of the season.
Okay, good.
Then on Friday, we'll do it in French, and at the end of the season, we'll do the interview in German. Okay?
All right. That's okay. Good for me.
So finally, we have some questions from the fans.
Yeah.
So, Tom, let's have a look.
Just looking, because, of course, we covered some of the questions already. How did you settle in Weiden, for example, and stuff like that? Who are you sitting next to in the locker room?
Ruby. So
on the other
there is
And
no one.
Well, in between, there's like a door in between me and Felix, so I hear him a lot too.
The door is important.
Yeah, which is, I didn't complain about that.
Okay. How many goals have you scored against your brother?
That's a good question. I never played against my brother. He's 2 years younger than me, mm-hmm, but in the street a lot. Okay. Yeah, outdoor rink.
Is he a hockey pro as well?
No, he's a refereeing actually now in the American League.
Okay.
In North America.
So you play together when you grew up?
He was a little bit too young to play, because you always play like with a year differential. And we're 2 years differential, but we played a lot of, like, that's what all we were doing back then, playing mini stick or going out there outside, play hockey in the street. So that's kind of how he got to be a goalie as well. I just told him to go in the net.
Can you compare the training in Weiden and Ravensburg? Are there any differences?
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of differences. Like, they're two different coach. I like it both. Either on the ice or off the ice. I think there's different ways to do things. I just feel like when the team is all in something, that's when your team's gonna perform. So whether the training or off the ice or on the ice is good or different, at the end of the day, it depends on the player if they want to apply and like work.
Did you always wanted to become a hockey pro even when you were a kid?
Yeah. Well, coming from Canada, that's all we do there pretty much.
But not every Canadian. Many of them, but not every Canadian is going to be a hockey pro.
No, because it's really hard to become a professional because there's so many hockey players growing up that it's really, really thin the percentage that the guys that make up to the NHL and then even just to play pro. But yeah, like I would say at first you just start playing hockey just because that's where everybody in the neighborhood does. And then you start seeing that you like it and then you're pretty good. And then maybe at 14, that's when I realized that maybe I could do something. Okay. 14, 15, I could do something with this and I could maybe make a career if I want to make the effort.
Some Canadians are playing professional football for a small club like Bayern Munich.
One.
Yeah, from Toronto, no? Eh? Davis, is that him?
Alfonso Davis.
Alfonso, yeah. Fonzie Davis. Yeah. And the other is Juventus Turin, I think. Jonathan David, I think, is the other one. The two Canadians I know.
The Canadians that are not playing hockey.
Yeah.
Another question. What's your favorite cheat meal?
I really like hamburgers. So every smash burger would be one of my favorite cheat meal.
Oh.
Another food question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there anything that you miss in Germany food-wise? What about poutine?
I do miss a little poutine once in a while, but that's a good cheat meal as well, I would say. But no, honestly, like there's not much. Like Germany is a country that you kind of have it all. If you don't have it, it's in the grocery store. I'm sure you can order it, or it's a nice country that and you can try new things. But I don't miss anything like food-wise from home.
What's your food questions here? What's your go-to restaurant in Weiden?
For now, I think it's the Indian spot right downtown. I forgot the name, but I've been there a couple of times with McNiven. Yes. And my family as well. We like it. Good portions, so and pretty good price, so okay. It's good for that.
Another question concerning the leagues. What are the differences between the DL2 and the league in Slovakia where you played in?
Yeah, it's a good question. I feel like they're really similar leagues in a way, like hockey talent. Maybe last year there was 7 imports in every league, every team. Mm-hmm. Now they went down to 6, but with 7 imports, it gives managers a little bit more freedom to get players from everywhere in the world. So I would say maybe the talent would be a little bit higher there, but also the average German is way better than the average Slovak, I feel like. So,
okay. Interesting.
So like the depth and the parity of the league is very good in the DL2 for sure.
Okay. And the last question. Do you prefer speaking English or French?
French.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
That was a fast one.
Yeah.
Maintenant, c'est fini, le podcast. Alex, thanks for your time. It was really, really great to have you here. Welcome again in Weiden and all the best for the future with the Blue Devils and on Friday against Regensburg. You have to win.
Thanks you very much.
Okay. Danke fürs Zuhören. Bis nächste Woche.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao.